Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 288 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, we are going to discuss the connection between adrenal issues, which are so commonly found in clients who have chronic skin issues, especially my TSW warriors, and how that may play a role into what's going on with your health. How do we identify that? How do we address that? What are the simple things we can do based on results that are undeniable? My guest today, who I'm so honored to have back here on the show, is Dr. Isabella Wentz, and she is a compassionate, innovative, solutions-focused, integrative pharmacist dedicated to finding the root cause of chronic health conditions. Her passion stems from her own diagnosis with Hashimoto's thyroiditis in 2009, following a decade of debilitating symptoms. And you might know her because she's written several best-selling books, including the New York Times bestseller, Hashimoto's Thyroiditis, Lifestyle Interventions for Finding and Treating the Root Cause. Also, the protocol-based number one New York Times bestseller, Hashimoto's Protocol, a 90-day plan for reversing thyroid symptoms and getting your life back. And the Wall Street Journal bestseller, Hashimoto's Food Pharmacology, Nutrition Protocols and Healing Recipes to Take Charge of Your Thyroid Health. And in her latest book, which we are going to dive into, it's called The Adrenal Transformation Protocol. It's just been released and focuses on resetting your body's stress response through targeted safety signals, which has a proven track record of helping over 3,500 individuals thus far. So without further ado, let's dive into today's conversation. Welcome back to the podcast, Dr. Wentz. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hi, Jennifer. I'm so glad to be here with you. Thank you for having me back.
So I wanted to talk to you today about something called adrenal fatigue. And this is a topic that many of my listeners, I would imagine, are pretty well versed in, and they've probably read about it online, maybe heard about it from somebody in like the integrative space. But the reality is that your adrenals don't really get fatigued. Adrenal fatigue is not really a thing per se. So what is more accurately going on with your adrenals? Because something does happen, but I thought you would be able to sort of dispel this for us and give us some truth here about what actually is causing issues with your adrenals.
Sure. So the term adrenal fatigue is a really convenient way to describe what's going on, but it's not necessarily the most accurate way to describe what's going on when the body's been under stress for quite some time and makes certain adaptations. I guess the correct way to describe this is HPA axis dysfunction or hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis dysfunction, where for whatever reason, our adrenals are still perfectly capable of producing the right amounts of hormones at the right times, but they're just not doing it. And it usually has to do with a communication breakdown between the adrenal glands and the brain. And it's funny because like conventionally trained doctors will say like, oh, adrenal fatigue doesn't exist. But then if you look at PubMed and you search for HPA axis dysfunction, holy cow, it does exist. It's kind of like leaky gut versus intestinal permeability. One of them doesn't exist. The other one has research studies behind it. At the end of the day, it's like the same symptoms and the same solutions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, it's interesting how your background, because most people, if they're familiar with you, and so many people are familiar with your work in the thyroid realm, are probably like, wait, adrenals, thyroid, because you have personal experience dealing with it. Is that what really drove you to just dig into this area because of your personal experience with imbalances in your adrenals?
Sure. I initially was diagnosed with Hashimoto's in 2009 after just decades of trying to figure out what was going on with me and some very odd symptoms. And I was able to thankfully recover my health and take back my health. And part of that was focusing on the health of my adrenals. And I have gotten myself into adrenal dysfunction a few different times throughout my life since recovering them the first time. And I've actually come across a new way and a more efficient, more effective, more long-lasting way that works a bit quicker and is safer and focuses on lifestyle interventions more so than on using things like steroids or hormones to try to mimic what the body's supposed to be doing. So I guess in a nutshell, most people who have thyroid issues like I struggled with and like I've been diagnosed with, they end up having some form of adrenal dysfunction. But many people also have adrenal dysfunction and they may not have thyroid issues. So I wanted to get the word out about what to do if you actually have adrenal dysfunction and how you can take back your health.
And can I ask quickly, since you brought that up, this interesting interplay between thyroid and adrenal issues, is that something where if you have thyroid issues, like you're going to end up with adrenal issues or vice versa, or can you just have one versus the other?
Yeah, it's kind of a feedback loop. And is it like the chicken or the egg? What came first? Now, I will say that in the majority of my clients and the people that I've talked to or surveyed, I will say that majority of them will say before they got sick, before they started having thyroid issues, they had a significant amount of stress in their lives. Something stressful happened. Whether that was, you know, going through graduate school or having a baby, which can be positive things, right? Or even something like going through a divorce or a death in the family, something very challenging, unfortunate, something devastating that they may have gone through. And so I actually think that my personal opinion is that the stress comes before the autoimmunity, and people end up being stuck in this chronic stress state, which eventually leads their bodies to break themselves down, and then they can end up having other kinds of autoimmune conditions like Hashimoto's or chronic fatigue syndrome, so on and so forth. And so there is an intimate connection, and there is a feedback loop between the thyroid and the adrenals. Should we talk about that?
Sure. I would love, you know what? I love this stuff, and I love the fact that your book, and we'll talk about more in a moment, but your book is so super nerdy, but nerdy in a way that makes it accessible to people who are curious about their health and really want to take action on their health. You broke down topics, and this was one of them, that connection between the interplay between, for example, like cortisol and thyroid hormone, that I found so fascinating and hasn't been pointed out as often as I think it should be. And so, yeah, what would be that interplay between something like the stress hormone cortisol that most of us think about when we think about adrenal fatigue or HPA axis dysfunction and how your thyroid hormones operate?
Sure. So when we have too much cortisol on board and we're having a lot of stress that's perceived by our bodies, the body will actually produce more of something known as reverse T3, which is the inactive thyroid molecule that will bind at thyroid receptors, but instead of activating them, it kind of prevents the active thyroid hormone from doing its job. So effectively, it becomes a thyroid hormone blocker. And so this is partially to allow cortisol to be produced without interference, as what happens when we have thyroid hormone, when we have too much of it on board, that breaks down the cortisol. And so as the stress progresses, and whenever we have low levels of cortisol that are too low, this can also be a signal to the body to make more reverse T3 and to slow down the thyroid gland, because thyroid hormone breaks down cortisol. And so another thing that I commonly see is people will feel better when they get started on thyroid meds, their fatigue improves, a lot of symptoms improve, and then all of a sudden something happens within a few weeks and they're like, wow, I'm kind of like more tired than I was before. And a lot of that is due to having that extra thyroid hormone on board, and that's going to help to clear out and break down the cortisol out of the body. So it's like a really intricate feedback loop between the two hormones. And so I'll say majority of the people that I've worked with Hashimoto's, part of the work that we're doing with them is we're focusing on supporting the health of their adrenals. Is 90% of the time, maybe even more, I would say they're going to have some degree of adrenal dysfunction, whether that's like an early degree with too much cortisol or the super advanced stages where we have really low levels of cortisol released throughout the day.
And so if you saw on labs an elevation in that reverse T3, does that make you suspect that something's going on with the adrenals?
Yes. Reverse T3 is usually either adrenal stress or it could be low ferritin. So not having enough iron on board. Those are kind of the two main things. And then if somebody's like in a chronic illness or an acute illness state, so somebody just had like a really nasty virus or they were hospitalized, something like that, where the body is like, okay, we need to slow down the metabolism, keep ourselves safe. Like that would be something very obvious, but to most people that are like walking around in the universe, in the world, it's going to be either stress or that low ferritin.
Yeah. Well, so I was reading through your book. It's called The Adrenal Transformation Protocol. And as I said, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was fascinating. And especially for all of my health nerds out there listening, you are going to love this book. And in the book, you discussed this concept called impaired HPA axis. And you've talked about that a little bit in this state of like chronic and unprocessed stress that could be underlying it. So can we dig into that a little bit more? Like, how would you define chronic or unprocessed stress? And why is it a very crucial part of the puzzle?
Sure. And I know many of us, we hear the word stress and we think like, okay, deadlines or an annoying boss or fighting with your spouse. And yes, it's all of these things. But it's also things that may have happened to us in the past that we perceived as traumatic and that are still within our bodies and are triggering us. Or it could be things like reactive foods, not eating enough food, not getting enough nutrients in our bodies. So the body perceives having low ferritin, not having enough iron on board as stressful, right? And so other things are going to be chronic infections. So I know you and I have a passion for H. pylori. And it's like, you know, we're very passionate about how H. pylori can trigger a lot of different things. And yeah, it can trigger stress in the bodies through causing inflammation in the body. So anything that is physically there, nutritional deficiencies or infections or even emotional stress and sleep deprivation, these are all ways that our body can pick up the signal that we're under stress.
And it almost sounds at times a little bit, especially with that sleep piece, like a vicious cycle, because I've noticed that clients who are really struggling from an adrenal standpoint oftentimes have very messed up circadian rhythm issues where like they cannot fall asleep. They finally fall asleep at like 4 a.m. and then they have to wake up. And so they don't feel well and they still can't, you know, it's like really, really messed up. And do you find that in cases like that, where the circadian rhythm is really off kilter? I mean, my personal feeling is like supplements are great, but there is a lot of lifestyle pieces to this as well. It's not just take a pill. Any type of pill, right? Whether it's medication or a supplement, a lot of times we want to just take a pill to make it easy. But in that instance where it's really, you have a really exacerbated problem going on like that, do you find that the lifestyle pieces also have to be dialed in and paid attention to just as keenly as you would say, like, I've got to take this at breakfast and then I've got to take it again at 2 o'clock?
You know, absolutely. For some people, and there's different reasons why people have trouble sleeping at night. And when I first started working a few years ago, when I was working with clients, I would be like, oh, you can't sleep because you drink too much caffeine. And I was like, just stop drinking caffeine. There you go. Right. And they were like, okay, I quit caffeine. Now I'm exhausted, but I still can't sleep. You know, a lot of times there might be underlying reasons why a person is tired and exhausted. So we may have to think about that. But before we do, there's some fundamental lifestyle things. Like, for example, when you first wake up in the morning, giving yourself access to outdoor light, to let your body know that it's time to be awake, time to not produce melatonin, time to make some cortisol, which we're supposed to make in the early hours of the day. This can be a game changer for helping people to have more energy in the morning and to be able to wind down and fall asleep at night. The bedtime things that I oftentimes recommend, doing an Epsom salt bath at bedtime. So increasing your body temperature just a little bit is going to prepare your body to be more relaxed. Turning off, not looking at your phone or using blue light blockers right before bed, maybe even earlier. Once the sun sets, stop doing those things if you feel like they're impacting your sleep. And then sleeping in a cool room that's completely dark can be such a big game changer. I know we moved into a new house and I always put like little stickers over any bright lights in the bedroom. And I had been waking up in the middle of the night a few nights and I was like, what's going on with me? Why am I waking up? And then sure enough, one night I looked over and there was this like bright blue light shining on from one of the stickers that fell off. And I was like, okay, that was enough for my body when it was in that light sleep stage to think that it was morning time and it was time for me to wake up. And there are very fundamental things like that and foundational things that if we just do those things, about half of the sleep disorders, I think, would be solved. But there are also more challenging things like blood sugar issues. So I do talk about blood sugar balance throughout my book, as well as sometimes we may need to utilize various types of supplements. If somebody's magnesium deficient, for example, sleep issues could be a symptom. So depends on the person, but generally, like, let's focus on lifestyle first.
Yeah, absolutely. And my audience is also they are not a stranger to the issues that hydrocortisone has on the body, because it is one of the most common prescribed medications for chronic skin issues. And as I was reading your book, you actually caution that hydrocortisone can lead to, quote, pituitary suppression. And I was like, oh my gosh, you are acknowledging the thing that all of these people who listen to this show who are dealing with this extreme version of when this happens. So folks who are listening to this, essentially the extreme version would be topical steroid withdrawal syndrome, which is drug induced because we don't have this exact criteria right now of how much and the potency and time length exposure to the medication can cause this in people. But could you explain to us, especially since you have a background as a pharmacist, what has been your experience with this concept of pituitary suppression from the use of hydrocortisone?
Sure. And just to generally speak from a steroid perspective in general, and I'm just amazing because the things that we learn in pharmacy school as best practices, it's like I would go out into the real world as a pharmacist and I would say, why is this person on a steroid cream for like years? Because it's not best practice to put somebody in a steroid cream for years, or steroids in general, you want to taper them down because they can build into the body. We have a feedback loop system. So if you're getting cortisol from a pill or a topical cream, then your brain is going to say, I don't need to make more cortisol, right? And so this feedback loop happens. And unfortunately, when people have been overdosed or prolongedly dosed, and also I find if they're dosed with something at night, at bedtime, with even creams or with steroids and also like adrenal glandular support, this can occur from that too. I feel like a lot of people in the natural medicine don't acknowledge that, but that it's a thing too. But you can suppress that feedback loop. And then your body has a hard time making its own cortisol, because we do need some, right? So we need to have like a good healthy cortisol kick in the morning where that wakes us up and we're ready to take on the world bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I unfortunately have seen people with thyroid issues get into like a pituitary suppression. High dose thyroid medications, when you're overdosed on thyroid medications, can produce this as well.
Oh, that's an interesting point. So if someone is thinking that something like this is going on, it's another piece if you're on thyroid medication to consider speaking with your doctor. I would assume get labs run to see what's going on in terms of all of your different thyroid levels. Another piece to this, in a sort of aside, and me just kind of finding it again, fascinating, and love the fact that you shared this in your book. There is a really great diagram where you show what cholesterol makes. And so could you just briefly describe to us, because everybody thinks cholesterol is bad. We're like so against cholesterol, and yet it does some really important things. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And I know it's so funny because we hear cortisol's bad, but we need it to survive, and cholesterol, quote unquote, bad. But yes, we actually do need it to survive, and it creates our, it's the backbone for creating our hormones. It helps us create our stress hormones, like cortisol. And when we don't have enough of it, we can get into issues with adrenal dysfunction. And then some of the reasons why people might have excess cortisol is that they're not converting it correctly to the precursor hormones like pregnenolone that gets turned into cortisol, and progesterone, and DHEA, our anti-aging hormone. So it's one of these things that I feel like in conventional medicine, we just give a black or white label to that needs to be really appreciated. Like, we don't want to eat a no cholesterol diet, and we want to make sure that we are supporting our body with enough fat-based, animal-based foods to help support a healthy stress response.
Yeah, cholesterol is so important. I get worried when I see in lipid panels when it's too low, and they're like, no, my doctor said it was really good. And I'm like, no. No, actually, and two, I'll mention this. I don't think I've ever shared this on the show before, but my dad, who was a surgeon, he had told me, and he was like a conventional doctor. He's like, I don't like to see the total cholesterol below 150. I think it really messes up people's thyroids.
Absolutely.
I was like, wow, Dad, it was his part of his training back in the 70s. And he was just like, I think we're pushing people's cholesterol too low. I was like, all right, that's good to know. It's interesting to hear sometimes these different nuggets of wisdom that have come out of older physicians. I had Dr. Robert Lustig on the show as well, and he was sharing about his frustrations with how they switched up the reference ranges for ALT, and now everybody's walking around with fatty liver disease and all of these things that change with time, and how we're like, no, there was an optimal range. So it's cool to know that cholesterol serves an important role, not just for, obviously now you're sharing thyroid, but also adrenals and sex hormones and whatnot. But I think a big piece to this is all about feeling safe, right? That is a deep connection, I feel, with the adrenals that oftentimes gets ignored or overlooked. And you mentioned in the book about safety signals. So can you talk a little bit about what are safety signals, and how do we interconnect this concept of safety with our healing journey?
So absolutely. So what I found is in my own healing journey and just with working with clients is that many people kind of get stuck in this chronic stress state, and they're sort of in a mode of like breaking their body down. So they're in a bit of a catabolic mode where they need to, like, rather than fixing their bodies and rest and digest, they're always kind of on edge and edgy, and they might feel anxious. They have trouble sleeping, and they're fatigued, and they're wired but tired and overwhelmed, so on and so forth, right? And so one of the kind of key transformations that I do when I work with people is to think about, like, what is causing you stress in your life? Like, what's making you feel worse, right? And so we go through and we create a list of, like, what are the things that are making me feel worse? And oftentimes it's like sleep deprivation, having deadlines, having stress, and so on and so forth. And so we create this list of things, and obviously we can't eliminate all of them, right? Like, you can't, like, I want world peace too, right? Like, I mean, I would love to have world peace, and it's stressful when there is not peace in the world, right? It's just part of how things are. But on the other hand, it's creating safety signals. So what are the things we can do that make us feel better? For a lot of people, it's walking in nature. It's having time to connect with loved ones. It's being able to get plenty of sleep. It's eating nourishing foods. It's taking a nice, warm, relaxing bath. And so we create enough of these safety signals to kind of balance out the messaging that the body gets so that you're not overloaded with like danger signals. We're in a famine, we're in a war, the world's about to end. Like our modern society, unfortunately, like we watch the news, we just hear all these bad things happening, right? And there's just so much of this in our world that could send this signal to the body that we're under threat right now. And I feel like it's important to be a concerned citizen in the world, but not at our own expense, where if we're just panicked and we're overwhelmed, it's not like we're out helping anybody with our overwhelm and panic. Like, we need to focus on making ourselves calm and steady and stable. And then, you know, we can create change in the world if that's what we choose to do. But we just want to make sure that we get ourselves into a really safe space where we feel nourished, when we feel supported, when we feel good, right? And so just sending enough of these safety signals can really do that within 3 weeks, 4 weeks for most people. Mm.
Can I also ask too, if you potentially have a history of trauma, is it also helpful for someone, because safety can be really hard for someone with trauma. Do you also recommend in your book to try different modalities of possibly like therapy, maybe EMDR, talk therapy, anything like that to also help with, I want to say, I feel like it's like junk programming. And I'm not saying anyone's traumatic experience is junk or anything like that. But I also realize that sometimes because of trauma and trauma responses, we can have these old computer, like it's almost like, it's like you would never use a computer from 1998 right now. It probably wouldn't work. But yet for some reason we have, you know, I actually have been doing some of this work myself. And I realized I have programming that has been ruling my life that's from 1988. It's time to let that go and work through it, despite sometimes how painful it is. So is that something that you also feel can be helpful for someone if they have trauma that they may need to work through?
Oh my gosh, I think it could be life-changing. If somebody has unprocessed trauma, they're not going to be able to feel safe, even like in the safest environments. They might be triggered by things or people that are being kind to them. They might be suspicious of people, and that just leaves their body in that fight or flight mode, right? And so doing something to get rid of that trauma and process that trauma is going to be helpful for building our resilience. I talk about a few strategies for building resilience. I have a whole chapter on it. And yes, trauma work is one of the big ones. I personally am a big proponent of EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's an interesting therapy that was developed by a psychologist by the name of Francine Shapiro. And she found that by going on a hike in a forest, when thinking about some tough times she had had, but letting her eyes move from left to right, helped her overcome and mentally get through some of these like troubling things that she had gone through. And so she's like, you know, it's not forest walking these days. Like, these are trained professionals that go through this process, and they learn how to work with the brain and taking stored memories that maybe we're not even aware of, like right in the moment. And they walk you through this process where you go backwards in time and you reprocess these traumas, and you're able to visualize them with, you know, like a 40-year-old's eyes versus a 4-year-old's eyes. And you see that something that happened to you when your mom yelled at you, that didn't mean that you were bad. It just means your mom maybe was overwhelmed at the time, right? And you're able to just really become more resilient and more present and happier and more empathetic towards yourself and towards others. So yes, I could talk about various strategies like that all day. And sometimes, you know, I joke about like positive affirmations are amazing, but they're like putting a Band-Aid over a leaky fishbowl if you're not working on trauma, right?
Exactly. Well, I wanted to make sure before we finished up, I first of all want to say congratulations on your new book, The Adrenal Transformation Protocol. And for those of you listening, if you're like, why do you like this so much, Jen? First of all, I really enjoyed the book. That's number one. And I read quite a few books and I interview a lot of authors and I don't always and really love the book. Sometimes there's fascinating parts. I actually really enjoyed this book. But also, this protocol has had over 3,500 people go through it. So that is a real proof of concept that speaks to the value. I mean, Isabella, you have created some amazing protocols and done amazing work in the thyroid space to help transform the daily life experience that so many people dealing with low thyroid function and Hashimoto's are going through. And so this just feels like a natural next best step because obviously you shared there's great connections between what happens with the thyroid and with the adrenals. So can you just share what are some of the results that the people who've gone through this protocol, what are some of the things that they've experienced?
It's incredible because I initially developed this protocol as a sleep deprived new mom when I couldn't take steroids and I couldn't take hormones and I couldn't sleep for 12 hours a night and I wasn't going to give up coffee. So I was like, how do I, like my body's feeling a lot of stress. How do I kind of neutralize that? And how do I get myself into thriving so I could be there for, you know, for myself and for my family and for the world? And this process, you know, I researched and it came to me and I just tried different things. And within a few weeks, I was feeling better. And working with people through my community, we initially did a pilot of about 100 people. And the results are just phenomenal. So 93% of people have been able to get rid of their, improve their brain fog within just like 3 to 4 weeks. And then Wow. We see more than 80% improvements in fatigue, in anxiety, irritability, sleep issues, pain in the body, as well as libido issues. And the program's been released 7 different times now. And every time we've gone through and improved things just to make sure people were improving and getting better. And that's the information in the book. It's not like the 1.0 version of it. It's like the 7.0 version of it, of a lot of the transformations that we've had. And it's almost like I could predict what happens by week 3. Usually in week 1, everybody's overwhelmed and they're stressed. They don't know how they're going to find time to do it. And then by week 3, they're like, oh my gosh, I was fatigued and I'm running up and down my stairs now. I have so much energy and my brain's working. And, you know, my husband's and I are having like a really great time together and my libido's back. So it is something that works really well and rather quickly, which has been in contrast to like using some of the hormones and things that can work, but they're not for everybody and take longer to work.
Yeah. Oh, that is so, so amazing. And so the book is available everywhere, correct?
Yes, it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, wherever fine books are sold. So it's the Adrenal Transformation Protocol, and it's a 4-week plan to release the stress symptoms. And go from surviving to thriving.
Awesome. And also, for those of you listening, Isabella has a really great little guide that you can download from her website. So if you go to thyroidpharmacist.com/ABC, you can download the ABCs of Adrenal Support Guide. That way you'll get some initial information from that and you can go from there. And I can promise you, whether you follow Isabella on Instagram, you buy any of her books, they are all extremely well-researched. Honestly, I've always been a big fan of your work, and you do the work to actually provide people with these really great roadmaps and protocols. And I very much appreciate that you go to such lengths. It just shows your level of caring and your desire to help support other people. And I really appreciate that about you and all of the information that you share.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. That really means a lot to me. And I'm a huge fan of your work as well. And so appreciate the love that you put out there into the universe and the help that you're providing to everybody with skin issues.
Well, thank you. I love having you on the show. And I hope that I can have you come back sometime. And everybody, please go check Isabella out, follow her. Go check out the book. And if you also have hypothyroid or Hashimoto's issues, you have 2 other books, correct, on thyroid? Or is it 3?
Yeah, I have three books. The first one is Hashimoto's The Root Cause, and it's more of a research-based book. And then people said, can you give us specific protocols? So then I came up with Hashimoto's Protocol with very specific protocols on what to do over 90 days. And then I also have Hashimoto's Food Pharmacology, which is a guide about nutrition with recipes.
So she's got you covered. Thank you so much for joining us, Isabel. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's been a pleasure.
I'm so grateful that Dr. Wenz was able to share her experience with this protocol and with these action steps that have helped over 3,500 people in her latest book called The Adrenal Transformation Protocol, which is now available everywhere. I highly recommend picking up a copy. It is an excellent book, which I truly have enjoyed, and definitely believe that it would make an amazing addition to your health library, especially if you believe that you're struggling with adrenal issues. So if you have any questions or comments about the topic, or you'd love to check out the resources I have linked up for you, head on over to skinterrupt.com/288. That way we can keep the conversation going. And then make a point to share this episode with anyone whom you know who believes that they may have adrenal issues, especially if they've had a lot of exposure to topical steroids and oral steroids. This can be really helpful and very eye-opening. And before you head off for your day, take a moment, if you haven't done so yet, to rate and review The Healthy Skin Show and then hit that subscribe button. That way you never miss a weekly dose of clinical research, inspirational stories, and all sorts of alternative strategies to help you rebuild healthy skin. And then let's connect. Over on Instagram, I'm at Jennifer Fugo. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I look forward to diving deeper with you in the next episode.